This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Hi, JP.
Hello. How are you doing today?
It's a football Friday. It's an NFL Friday.
Yeah. Okay,
good day. We made it to Friday.
Good day. You got a free muffin today. Everything is coming up.
I got a free muffin. Not just that. I got a free muffin. And then, like the gentleman I am, I split it with Mac.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I had a different question off of this. I thought you were going to say, because I've known you to be a pretty good tipper, okay?
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if then you, did you tip the amount that the muffin cost into the jar to kind of like offset the idea that you actually got a free muffin?
No, I tipped the same amount that I was going to tip regardless.
Good. I like that out of you. Okay. I got worried because I know you're a good tipper, and I got worried that then you'd have to make it up, and then all of a sudden it's like you are in fact paying for this muffin that you didn't even ask to order for.
Now, in fairness, maybe I should have thrown another dollar on there because, again, I had like a $6 drink. That's not true. I think that's a $4 drink, but I tipped an extra dollar on there. So maybe I should have done $2, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. So basically, there was a muffin. The lady's like, well, I just touched the muffin on accident. Can I give you, would you like to take the muffin? Because I was inquiring about this muffin.
Part of her equation, though, has got to be, who can I give this to that is probably going to then, you know.
And then she looked at me and she was like, this man will take a free muffin.
Well, no, send a little cheddar my way is probably what she's thinking.
And I did. A very little cheddar. A one single dollar.
Yeah. She's like, dang it, I thought I had this guy. But tips great all the time. I'm sure he'd pony up a little bit more.
I did the thing of, hey, put a little tip on there just for that, though. Yeah, took credit for the tip that I was going to give anyways.
I was going to say, it was earmarked. She doesn't have to know it was earmarked anyway.
No.
So in her eyes, it worked splendidly.
And in fairness, she probably was just going to throw the muffin out.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. She touched the muffin.
I know, she's got a busy line, I would imagine, right?
No.
Or is this coffee place just dead?
It was a dead spot when I went in. I've been lucky. Two straight days.
Yeah, that doesn't look like
spot.
The mermaid over there on that cup. That looks like a local place.
Look at that. Oh, no. It's a local spot just down the road here. We're not naming names because I don't remember the name of it, but their coffee is delicious.
The one like near the hotel over there?
Well, now you're specific. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, because they gave me a free muffin. What am I going to do here, right?
There's no problems.
Now, the problem, well, the only
neither
problem
neither one
be,
of us can remember the name for the life of us, the but problem, there's no problems.
The problem could be if now, all of a sudden, somebody from that establishment is listening, and it's like a free muffin?
I mean, oddly enough, though,
it
still ended up being pretty vague, all things considered, being like the one near the hotel. it's still pretty vague.
We have several hotels.
We got a lot of hotels downtown.
Yeah.
I think we're in the clear here. Yeah. I think it's all right.
So,
although I know what you're talking about now, I do.
So, I know exactly
what
you're talking
exactly
about.
Which one you're talking about.
All right, so the names today, Dan Pitcher. He's getting an interview.
Good.
That sounds like a creative coach, right? When you're like doing, when you're starting like a franchise.
Baseball name.
I was actually thinking, oh, that's great. Remember Storm Lightning from the Ken Griffey Jr. baseball game? And it was like Pedro Pitcher. I think there actually was like a Pedro Pitcher or somebody like that.
Yeah, Pablo Sanchez is always the big one. But
that's a great one. And Odd and Dirty, which is sounds like a made up name, but no, it's just an English name. Those are the two fellows today. And we did hear the name. And I was wondering if this one was going to happen because I think he's a commodity out there, but it's maybe not a big name to Browns fans. The Chargers defensive coordinator Jesse Minter, the Browns they're going to interview him as well. What do we think about these coaches?
Yeah, we're here. We're not very impressed, but we're here.
Ooh, I actually put the Jesse Minter one above
no, that's
Dan
better
Pitcher
than Dan,
and Odd
of course
Dirty.
That's better than Dan Pitcher. Of course it is. And by the way, what's What's not, if you can't land a Harbaugh, you get Harbaugh adjacent. Is that the idea there? You get somebody in the Harbaugh sphere. Like, I can't tell you how much I love Matt LaFleur's brother, Mike, just by the idea that he's around Sean McVay.
They have the same blood.
And they have the same blood and DNA. So maybe we got something there. Because, again, we have no idea with any of these guys at this point, and we're not in these meetings, so we don't have much to really go off of. But if, like, the basis of that is that he's one of these people that's in the sphere of Sean McVay, and people that have been in the sphere for as long as he has have typically come out and done at least all right, including LaFleur, Taylor, KOC, all these guys, right? Well, the Harbaugh sphere is a pretty good sphere to fall into. And yeah. Jesse Minter not only was there, obviously they won a title with Michigan, but then has followed him into the NFL with the Chargers. And so, like, he is Harbaugh's guy. And so that's not a bad thing.
He's also a coach's kid. His dad, Rick, was the head coach at Cincinnati for, I want to say, I'm going to butcher this, but 8, 9, 10 years back in the day. So he grew up in football. I do think the fact, by the way, that because of the way Harbaugh is, Harbaugh being a former quarterback and offensive side of the ball kind of guy, Jesse Minter is the head coach of the defense. Now, In fairness, Jim Harbaugh is the head coach of everything, but I like the fact that if you go, hey, who's responsible for the defensive success of these L.A. Chargers, you got to give a lot to the scheme of Jesse Minter.
Right. Does first-year head coach, as a defensive side of the ball, first-year head coach scream, that's what I want for this coaching search? Probably not. But there's worse names than Jesse Minter out there for sure.
Oh, but he does. Okay, so this is going to be the push and pull of this search. Like Mike McDaniel, who we I think we both came around to yesterday in our conversation.
I came around to. I started off the gate like, let's go.
And then I went up to you by saying he's number two on my list.
He was number two on my list on the 2 o'clock
hour. I said number one.
Ooh. Well,
oh, wait, no, Harbaugh's
that
number
would,
one.
That would be one up.
But that's
me.
A different
well,
list.
No, and to be fair, my list, I had him two while just leaving Harbaugh completely off the list because I didn't think it was attainable at this point.
That is fair. Now I'm very confused about lists and whatnot. But
either way, we both think highly of him.
Yeah, I think, so McDaniel gives you offensive mind. You keep Schwartz. You have an offensive head coach, a defensive head coach. You've got two guys that can develop talent and scheme the hell out of some football. That's why that one makes sense to me. With Jesse Minter, I think some of the things that we've talked about that I like are the idea of he's a people person, meaning he's not a people pleaser, but he's a good communicator. He's a I don't say disciplinarian, but kind of a traditional defensive football coach. And I think the defensive side of the ball is where a lot of the motivators tend to come from, thinking of like Mike Tomlin first off as a guy who's like, that's one of the big names there. I think Brian Flores is another kind of motivator from the defensive side of the ball. Mike McDonald in Seattle is sure. another motivator on the defensive side of the ball. So he's kind of anti. It's like Minter
but
versus
you
McDaniel.
Can't, yeah, you can't be under Jim Harbaugh for as long as you have been and be anything but
like
a motivator.
Slouch.
Now, yeah, that's
Freddie Kitchens.
That's what Harbaugh is. Harbaugh is. If you're gonna be around Harbaugh for as long as he is, I would imagine you're close to what his thinking is and his philosophies are. And he's not. I mean, that's he's a people person. Exactly what you said. He's a people person. But so you immediately get rid of Jim Schwartz. More likely than not, that's probably the idea. Jesse Minter's going to want his own defense. He's going to want his own everything, and he's probably going to want his own staff. And so, like, I mean, I'm doing all that for a defensive coordinator in his first year. It's a lot to do. He's got to really impress you to get there.
Yeah, I would also like to know who the OC is going to be, because I think anybody on the defensive side of the ball, even Schwartz, who's the guy calling plays, what's the criteria, because that's what I need to know. Now, while we're on the topic of the Browns' job, obviously over the playoffs this weekend, both in college and, of course, the NFL, and we're going to get to that a fair amount of that today, but RG3, remember him? RG3 does not, apparently, believe the Browns' job is a good job. We're going to give his first criteria on why the Browns' head coaching job is, I believe, I'm paraphrasing here because I haven't heard this sound, but the worst head coach gig in the NFL right now.
The Cleveland Browns have the worst head coaching vacancy in the NFL. By far. Maybe even in NFL history. For three reasons. One, the quarterback situation is absolutely atrocious. Deshaun Watson is coming off yet another injury. You owe him $46 million, so what are you going to do with him? Dylan Gabriel was your higher draft pick this past season. You got him sitting on the bench behind Shedeur Sanders, who most of the team wants to be the starter.
All right, you're a college football guy first, and you can't say Shedeur Sanders.
You got that very wrong.
That's a real strike. Two, calling it maybe the worst head coach opening in history is atop the most hyperbolic, look at me, Louie, Skip Bayless, Jason Whitlock, don't you know who I am kind of moment. That's I will say this with respect, because I like some of what RG3 does on social media and in media. That's a clown take.
I think you can call the QB situation what it is. I don't think many people are going to bat for what this QB room is right now. But Sean Payton entered the Broncos situation where you had $90 million in dead cap money with Russell Wilson, and you hadn't drafted Bo Nix yet. Coaches take these jobs with maybe not the greatest of quarterback outlooks because they think they're going to get it right and turn it around quickly.
So here is RG3's second criteria on why the Browns head coaching vacancy is the worst in the NFL this year.
Number two, it's one of the most historically dysfunctional franchises in the league. It's Kevin Stefanski wanted Deshaun Watson as his quarterback. Wanted him so bad that he was willing to get rid of Baker Mayfield, who was now the franchise quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think RG3 is one of those dudes that if you just say it with enough flair, people are like, this guy's got some points. I would like you, RG3, I know you might not cover the entire NFL anymore. Please see the Tennessee Titans. If we're talking about dysfunction, they've had, I want to say, a combination of six different combinations of head coach and GM since 2020. They are more dysfunctional than the Cleveland Browns are. That's not saying a lot. But just off the rip.
And if I could $1 Bobby here for a second, I feel like not only are the Titans added to that list, the Raiders are more dysfunctional than the Browns. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins are more dysfunctional than the Browns right now.
That's the Giants.
Cardinals are more dysfunctional than the Raiders. There's a lot of dysfunctional teams at the moment. The Browns are not they're not the last on this list.
Every one of those teams that we've mentioned have had more head coaches than the Browns since 2020.
Right.
All right, so let's get the last one here about RG3's criteria on why the Browns' job is the worst job, or the worst vacancy in the NFL this cycle.
And number three, you're going to have to answer to a GM in Andrew Berry who's now put himself on the hot seat. The Cleveland Browns have only won 8 games in the last 2 years. It was clear this year that Andrew Berry wanted Shedeur Sanders and that Kevin Stefanski wanted Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. So now you come in as a head coach and you might as well go ahead and trade Dylan Gabriel to wherever Kevin Stefanski ends up. Then you got to make a decision on whether you believe in Shedeur Sanders as your starter or not. Because if you do, you build around him and you give him a full offseason to get better and develop. But if you don't, you got to go with Deshaun Watson and you got to trade Shedeur Sanders as well. Because his gravitas in the locker room and the belief that he has built up in the city is too much for him to be a backup. If I was the next coach of the Cleveland Browns, I'd keep Shedeur Sanders and build around him, trade away Dylan Gabriel and tell Deshaun Watson, see you later.
He said Shedeur three different ways.
He got to a very different conclusion than I thought he was going to get to. At one point, he traded Shedeur, and then all of a sudden, he made him the starting quarterback. I actually do like his thought process with Dylan Gabriel, though.
I hadn't thought about that.
No, but Stefanski in particular. Yeah. Stefanski likes him so much, I hadn't considered the idea that RG3, that's a good point by him. Yeah, Stefanski, whatever you want. You can trade for Dylan Gabriel.
Hey, all it's going to take is a third-round pick.
Sure, yeah, let's get it back. Same pick you spent on him, you go ahead and with your new team, go get him back.
Was it 92nd pick? We'll give you Dylan Gabriel
this year. Let's do that. That sounds good.
Because we're good people,
but
that's what we like to do.
He's missing the larger point on this. He's missing every point. Yeah, I mean, he consistently missed a lot of points. But like, if you're a Harbaugh, if you're somebody we actually want, if you're Sean McDermott and you shake free, if you're LaFleur and you shake free, you don't have to worry about Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry is going to be the least of your concerns. You can fire him the moment that you get hired for the job if you want. Like, you don't have to worry about Andrew Berry. I promise you.
And here's the other thing. None of the other coaches. So Harbaugh's the one guy that can walk in and say, that guy's not my GM, right? And Jimmy Haslam will say candidly yes, right? Like that's, and by the way, I would be surprised if Jimmy and Andrew hadn't had some semblance of a conversation about, you know, I'm going to do anything I can get this guy if Jimmy's truly interested in John Harbaugh. All this being said, everybody else fits into the thing that you're trying to build here. Like Mike McDaniel, I think if he waits a year, might have some power. That Tua thing that you pointed out yesterday is going to age well, I think, for Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
And then it's going to come around. And if you're the Lions the Lions offensive coordinator and you've got them in the NFC title game with that offense again, oh, hey, Mike McDaniel becomes the legend of Mike McDaniel because he didn't be a head coach for 1 year. Mike McDaniel today? If Mike wants to be a head coach in the NFL, you will report to Andrew Berry.
Yeah, you get no say.
And you will accept your role within this. And by the way, That guy's probably got more options than anybody else we've talked about.
Which is why, as of right now, I feel like Andrew Berry's pushing really hard for the Jesse Minter types. He's pushing really hard trying to make Dan Pitcher and all everything, because he still then gets to be the guy that tells him what to do. He gets to be the guy in charge. He's not worried about his job, but there are big enough names out there that Andrew Berry has to worry he's going to get Jacksonville'd.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40 today. A lot of things to get with the two different sets of playoffs between college football and the NFL. We got Jory Epstein, senior NFL reporter at Yahoo Sports. She has an opinion on what the firing of Stefanski means for Shador and the Browns' job at large. We'll also talk the playoffs. We'll pick the playoffs today as well on the show. Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, Cleveland's own. He's at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about the status of the Browns' job. We've got the latest on John Harbaugh. Dear Ryder also joins us coming up at 6 o'clock as well. But 216-474-0092. Do you agree with RG3, which rhymes, that the Browns have the worst head coach head coaching gig in the NFL? I think he was pretty much wrong on pretty much everything he said, so I don't agree. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm not going to spin it as the best. And I do think there's a lot of beauties in the eye of the beholder jobs this offseason. I'm not saying there aren't people out there, aren't coaches out there that would look at it as the worst. I just don't think if we took the old coaches poll and literally everybody that's going to interview for the head coach and said, what's the worst job? I think Tennessee's going to win out even if they have Cam Ward.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
No, but it's not the Browns. That's all that matters. And how important are vibes in the coaching search? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Now, okay. But lines are forming. We got sides being taken here. Katie Pollock came in to correct me that it's Aiden Dirty. Then we listened to a British guy interviewing Aiden Dirty.
Yeah, where was this? It was on YouTube, but what was the, was it like an official football podcast, or what was this?
It was like NFL UK. It was their official YouTube channel.
You know, we really should like just open up like a, I don't know, like a soccer podcast or something that me and you do or something. And we're just like, we're the wacky American guys that just kind of talk about their sport.
I don't know. I had an Ohio State podcast that neither myself or my co-host was on. And several people at the station who went to Ohio State very upset about that. So, no? I'm assuming that would, like, we extrapolate that times 10 for, like, the Americans talk about a sport they don't know.
Well,
about.
I just love the idea of somebody in, like, London being like, this American doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's like, no, we don't.
And yeah, no, no,
but
no.
We're going to go and try.
But you bastards talk about my sport, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's
just getting one back for America is all. That's all.
Or.
Take that, Sam Munson.
Or let's catfish him. We'll put upon fake English accents. It'll be like, oh, thank you, Brian Shelby. Jolly good.
Yeah.
And we'll just do an English podcast.
And we'll come up with like a really obscure place in England.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm from Tottenham on the Spur, right? So I'm like, well, no, that would be too.
That's too on the nose.
Yeah. I'm on Willie on the Hog, right?
We could do a real name. We could do a real place.
No, I think it'd
be like if somebody came here and was like, oh, yeah, these Americans, they do it from Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
You know, one of the, like, something like that.
But so we don't know. You sided with Katie.
Well, I did. I sided with the pronunciation guides.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Well,
yeah.
But what do they know?
And also common sense kind of leaped in there as well, if we're being honest.
A-D-E-N, Aden.
Yeah, but I've never heard that name before.
Well, because you're an American.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone have that name before. And I've heard Aiden be a name for a very long time.
I did. Okay. All right. That's a little...
Well, it's just common sense
that's
to
a
me.
That's a little nationalistic for you. It plays well today.
But I am American, so it makes sense.
It's true.
It makes sense that I would be nationalistic.
Red, white, and Jonathan. That's what we always say.
I've never been called nationalistic before, though. Okay. Yeah.
Johnny Red, White, and Blue.
That's another thing people call me.
Yeah, Johnny.
That is another thing people call me.
Yeah, yeah.
Sparklers in the studio.
Yeah.
I've read the whole bit.
That's true. I'm going to stop there.
Yeah,
I'm going to stop there.
Uh-huh.
But I will say, adding dirty points because
it's Aiden.
And yes, it is. Yes, it is Adden. So for the next 4 years, we get to hear an English accent.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's got one. He's got one. It was fourth down, Captain. All right.
Okay, now I got to the reason why he wanted to have this discussion. I sometimes gotta.
What are you talking about?
I gotta wait for a little bit. I'm like, I don't know why he wants to do this pronunciation guide discussion, but like, let's go down this road.
You think me wants to talk about that reason?
That was the payoff. That was what you were waiting
Crikey.
For. You, the idea of you in the reverse Ted Lasso, where one of theirs comes over here,
and then we laugh
at some of the Englishisms that he has and some of the weird quirks that he has because, well, he's not from here. So there we go. You want to talk about, I mean, well, Cleveland is such a place of like, you have to be from here in order to even understand Cleveland. I can't imagine. They get on people like me from Chicago. I can't imagine what they do from someone not from America.
Oh, man, the protests.
East side versus West Side.
We
won
a little war about 250 years ago. We didn't need an Englishman as our coach.
You know the amount of comments, if he messes up, that are just obviously always going to exist of like, this is why you don't hire, you got to hire America.
Yep.
Like, it's a football coach.
Yeah.
How do you not hire an American?
Well, they took our jobs. Come on now. We're not doing that bid. Outsourcing? No? Anybody? I'm just on an island here. That's right.
No, now I'm just thinking of like the different things. Like if we play the Patriots, for instance, it's like, here's our Boston Tea Party. You know, different things like that. That's going to just always pop up and be thrown in our face. Or in other words, it's not going to go well. It's that from that, or it'll go great one way or another. I'm not buying Aiden.
Mm.
I'm not buying Aiden stock.
Or Adden.
He's here. He's here in Cleveland today because once again they're doubling up with interviews. By the way, this was not just good job. This was not just left for Tommy Rees and Jim Schwartz yesterday.
It's
we have two today, and so people are wondering if Aiden is even getting the fair shake to begin with. Anyway, because everyone wondered that with Tommy Rees, so he could be in like an Uber right now listening
That's
to
true.
Us as we just bash his nationality, his existence.
Hey, Adden, come on, buddy. You're my guy, all right? Me thinks you're good.
How many wins does he have to have in year one for you to get his name right?
11.
Like if he got hired as the head coach, I have a feeling you'd just be like, this is like when everyone thought it was Tyrod and then Tyrod Taylor for a little bit.
And that was a troll job by Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Still one of the funniest things ever.
And then everyone just kind of went along with it, but then there were some holdouts that are like, you know what? Doesn't win enough games for me to move this. He's Tyrod to me until he wins enough games.
Yep.
This could be you with Aiden.
Yeah. Okay. So it's going to be dependent every year. He's an Adden in a lost year, meaning like you didn't make the playoffs, you didn't win more than 9 or more games.
Yeah.
You do that, or God help me, you win a Super Bowl, I'll never call you the wrong name again. Let's call you coach.
I'll call you friend.
I'll be there at your U.S. citizenship if it already hasn't happened already. I'm assuming it's already happened
already.
How
about the fast track for that? If it hasn't happened yet, you win a Super Bowl immediately to the front of the line.
Maybe. I don't know.
People grease those wheels pretty quick.
They do. You know what? They do grease them wheels. Now, all this being said, we're talking about Odd and Dirty's vibe, and JP's doing him dirty with that mispronunciation of his name. How important are vibes in the Browns coaching search? Well, the Modern Boys made the case that Mike McDaniel couldn't possibly be the head coach here because he doesn't match the Cleveland vibe.
I got the sense yesterday, running some errands, seeing some people, they would not be down with that hire. They would really not, the vibe of it. And I got to tell you, like, we're a Midwestern town. He's a nice guy. There's things to like about him, but I just don't think the vibe clicks with a town like Cleveland. I hear a lot about capri pants, and I'm like, yeah, that ain't going to work in a place like Cleveland, Ohio.
Caprice can't be a reason why you get a guy out of there. What are we doing?
This is it was a little tongue-in-cheek.
This is like the backward hat thing with Colin Cowherd all over again.
A little tongue-in-cheek from our buddies in the morning. I do.
But the sentiment is obviously what? You have to fit the vibes?
Yeah.
Here's my news breaking on this. All coaches are weird. Every NFL coach you meet is weird. They're all weirdos. Every one of them. That's why they're at the top of this profession. They're all a bunch of oddballs. See Lane Kiffin and the stories we've been talking about him for 48 hours. Like, they're all weirdos. Even the ones that seem like they might have a semblance of normal, they're not normal people. Now, do I think McDaniel takes this to a little bit of an extreme over some of the others? Sure. But you're not going to be able to find a head coach that is just a legitimate, normal human being. They don't exist in the NFL.
Didn't you say that you didn't like him because he vaped on the sidelines? Because I think that's right up there with Capri
Pants. No, I didn't. In fact, I just brought up that he vaped on the sidelines. You said, oh, yeah, that doesn't bother me. And I said, yeah, doesn't bother me either.
Okay. I didn't remember. It was yesterday.
We had it on the Twitter and everything. No, I never. I don't care about that stuff.
Okay.
I really truthfully don't. There are things I care about. But when it comes to Capri Pants, when it comes to vaping on the sidelines, when it comes to him turning into what looks like basically somebody that would serve Michael Irvin a lot of his substances, I don't care. I don't care that he turned into Narcos in Miami. A lot of people turn into looking like Narcos when they start to live in Miami for multiple years. It happens. He's a weird dude. NFL coaches are weird. I'm not going to hold that against him. I care if you coach a football team at a high level. That's what I care about.
I'm in a little bit of a precarious spot here because Kevin Stefanski clearly didn't fit the vibe of this town because he's an Ivy Leaguer, and this town has historically, if you're an Ivy Leaguer in this town and you don't win games, it's tough for you.
Which Mike McDaniel is an Ivy Leaguer, by the way.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't come across like an Ivy Leaguer.
He went to Yale, did he not?
Yeah, no, he did. He is a legit, I've heard his IQ thrown out there. I don't understand IQ numbers because I'm not that smart, but I've heard it's very high. It's very high, just like Michael Irvin.
You've heard people have discussed his IQ numbers?
Yeah, I remember it being quoted in...
I'm kind of curious to find out what it is.
It might have been in Cleveland.
I remember Tom Herman, at one point it was like very well known that
remember
he was a member. He's a member of Mensa, and it was like 165, and he would like brag about it being 165.
Maybe it was 175 he could have won at Texas, I don't know.
Matt, can we get some research done on Mike McDaniel's
Senior
IQ
Senior research
score?
Analyst, Matt
I'm trying
Robinson.
To look it up right now, and I'm not seeing any official scores, at least currently, so...
Like the combine.
We have
great.
Old IQ scores out there.
That actually would be great coaching combine, and we got just the IQ number. Oh, these coaches could not handle it.
I'm not seeing any confirmed numbers for the IQ.
AI says there are no publicly available official IQ scores
Maybe
Mike
it was
McDaniel.
Back when he was with the Browns, but I remember there being some article on Mike McDaniel. Maybe it was in Atlanta. I don't know, but I do distinctly remember.
There is a Reddit board wondering if his brain moves too quickly.
That's true.
It's like as if like it moves too fast.
It's so quickly that his mouth can't keep up with
this
it.
Is like when Coach got on Schwesinger earlier on in the year being like, he's so fast he over-pursues. And that's like a problem for him. He just
Same
moves
thing
too
with
quickly.
Myles Garrett.
Same exact thing.
So I'm torn because I do think that Kevin...
I graduated from Yale in 2004.
Here's the thing. Kevin, I think, was an incredibly affable guy that chose to just not communicate to fans in a way that I thought... was more authentic and more engaging. And I think anybody that talked to Kevin off air for 2 seconds had him talk about Pearl Jam understood that Kevin was a very engaging, like a very delightful guy to have any sort of conversation with. And I think Kevin chose not to do that, and so that didn't fit the vibe here. You hurt your relatability with the Browns. I guess my thing is, I would like a coach that I can vibe with. I would. I would like a coach that comes out there and sounds like a football coach. That was a compliment I gave Jim Schwartz. That's a compliment I've given Tommy Rees. When they talk in their press conferences, they sound like a freaking coach because they can tell you the truth without ragging on someone. And so I think it's almost a little bit of chicken bleep when a coach is a coach and then he comes out and he speaks in generalities or basically just speaks with completely bland conversation that means nothing, right? I'm also not letting vibe hold me back if Mike McDaniel's the best candidate. I think that's where I struggle with.
His vibe up until this last year, that's all people raved about with him, was the idea that he did get along with the players so well. In fact, the only detriment to that was people wondered if he was almost just too close to the players in regards to some of his coaching styles, if he needed to be more the authoritative figure because he was almost too buddy-buddy with some of those guys. Now, that turned in the last year. Don't really know what happened for it to turn, but it turned in the last year. But no, like, I mean, he is, I call him hipster Kevin Stefanski because I mean it. I think that's very true, but he's like a walking good vibe.
I just think it's funny that And again, I think it is a fair point. Like, I'm not trying to shoot down what Ken's saying, because I think there are going to be people who go, don't love the vibe. I guess my thing is, do we really think before the first press conference, anybody but Harbaugh is going to be a home run with fans? No, it's going to you win the press conference? It's going to be that simple.
Is only people that seem like they could do a blue-collar job eligible to be the head coach of the Browns? Is that the idea? Is that what they're going for?
I think with this search, yes, after Kevin.
Like Kingsbury, for instance, I know people have ragged on him for being too good-looking. I think that's one of your lines. Yep. It's like, is that just immediately eliminate him from being the head coach?
You have to get a real scar in his face.
If you want someone that seems like he's a blue-collar guy, Mike McDaniels, that's not your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a lot that he offers up, but he's not your Huckleberry then, because he is not that guy. Yeah, his car breaks down on the side of the road. That man's calling AAA and not even questioning it.
It should be noted, Mike McDaniel, in a bad season, is going to annoy the hell out of me and annoy the hell out of you. That's not why you do or don't hire a coach. 216-474-0092. Does the new coach's vibe have to match Cleveland? After Stefanski, do you need a good vibe with the new head coach? Quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
No,
let's go ahead and get into quick hits.
You're just a
from the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's quick hits.
They took our jobs. The Giants quarterback and Ole Miss product Jackson Dart was seen on the sidelines of the Fiesta Bowl last night. The video feed caught his half of a interaction with some dude on the sideline, and he mouthed the names Stefanski or Harbaugh. You can't beat those allegations. Many people are suggesting the question, which we don't see, was who's going to be the head coach? Should we take this to the bank, or do you think it could possibly have been who are the favorites for it? Who do you want as the job? Like
that? So obviously, I had the same response as the assistant that asked the question to Jackson Dart had, where after Jackson says Stefanski or Harbaugh, he just kind of looks like, oh, so you gave us nothing new.
Yeah.
Great, you told us exactly what the internet told you. Like, all this told me is that Jackson Dart's not in on these conversations, is what this told me.
I listened to the morning show at FAN today, and they had moved on from John Harbaugh with the Giants because they just assumed that Harbaugh was going to go down to Miami. I think if we listen to him on Monday, they might flip-flop because they've hired a hyphenated first name from Green Bay, John Eric, by the way. Don't even get me started
on Eric
that.
Sullivan.
Yeah. I mean, the Sullivan's
but
fine.
The John
it's the John
Eric.
Eric
thing.
Choose one,
hey,
John.
There's no mistake in that one. We know how to say John and Eric.
I don't do hyphenated first names. I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't have much of a frame of reference for other hyphenated first names.
Mostly, all the great assassins in history have had three names. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Like John Wilkes Booth. We're talking. This probably goes a long way.
It does. Remember them all. Lee Harvey Oswald. I don't know why that one took so darn long. However, the point is, what was the point?
The guy that killed Garfield wasn't, though.
Wait, that's not Shogash, is it?
No. You see, this is what happens when you watch a whole Netflix series on it and you get really into it for like a week. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it just...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
One indoor, one in one door, out the other door.
Omaha!
Thank you, Mac. That's a good call.
I want to see how many you could name.
That's about what I got.
That's about what you got.
There's Leon Shogash. There's Lee Harvey Oswald. John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, I'm sure someone's done like a Facebook post on this one. They've named like 3 or 4.
Yeah, but
five.
Here's the other thing. I don't really want to name more than 3 or 4 because then you start to get really upset about how many people have been assassinated. And you're like, man, this sucks.
Well, or the idea that your parents don't give you a chance if you give you a hyphenated first name.
They basically say...
They set you up for it.
Growing up.
Like, this is going to be tough on you.
Yeah.
But that's why...
Well, it's going to be tough on somebody else.
Well, that's why John Eric Sullivan is such a story of inspiration.
Yeah. Because now the only thing he's going to assassinate is the Dolphins' chances of winning a playoff game for another 5 years.
Boom.
Bang biscuit.
There we go. All right. Staying close to Jackson Dart and that game last night, the NCAA has denied Trinidad Chambliss a 6-year of eligibility. He was trying to get this because a couple years ago, he had a medical situation that popped up, and he thought this would be enough. NCAA says, no, not enough. We're not going to go ahead and give you this one. So it seems like Trinidad is going to have to try to find a way to make it in the NFL, which is going to be interesting. But I kind of think this stinks. I'm not privy to every bit of this with Trinidad, but he was fun to watch, and I thought he was great for college football, and I was getting excited about the idea of him coming back to Ole Miss next year.
So this is a tough one because on one hand, I actually do think Ole Miss and Chambliss can still appeal this, basically.
They can.
So there's still
they can.
A fight.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's what they've said, actually, by the way, is they're going to do an injunction in Mississippi.
The other kind of interesting thing, I wonder how that one's going to go. Because it's in Mississippi, guys. There's no other thing. I'm not going back to the assassin
Okay,
thing.
Funny enough, we probably should just recognize that an injunction in Mississippi might go the Ole Miss quarterback's way.
I'm going to guess.
We might just reserve.
I don't want to have a hot take here.
We might just reserve that idea.
But I'm torn on
this. But Dan's got to find a way to get this through.
I'm just torn on this because it's like everybody plays 7 years in college now.
I know. Like, he's going to be the one that you draw a line on.
Like,
it was respiratory issues year two at Ferris State is the call. Like, I don't care what happened at Ferris State.
Does it mean he just hasn't had an asthma attack?
Might be. Good enough for me.
Hay
you know
fever?
What I mean?
Was that a bad year for pollen?
Hey, good enough for me. Don't care. Get him on the field. You know, like, I look at him and I see how he played last night. And I think to myself, like, yeah, college football could do better with him in there. He's not going to do anything at the NFL level. He's a day three pick at best, or he's going to be undrafted. Like, give him this chance. Give him another year. Let's see what happens.
I just love when they get stingy with all the eligibility.
Tyler Shuck was like 75 years old.
Yeah.
You know, the average age of Indiana's roster is 23.
Yeah. Well, that's now the way you're going to win.
For sure.
That's actually why the Big Ten has been so good at all this is the depth on these last three teams, and I'm just giving Indiana the championship. The depth on these last three teams is insane.
I saw Ohio State fans last night complaining about that idea, being like, wait, we go too young.
Yeah.
We've given out too many primetime deals to young players. Everyone's a complete man at this point
give
in college
me a 25
football.
Give me a 25-year-old at every position. That's what I think we want there.
Basically, yeah.
With Ole Miss's loss in the Fiesta Bowl, it now makes 3 straight years the SEC's been shut out of the national title game. In fact, the SEC went 4-10 in bowl games this year, with 2 of those wins coming in SEC versus SEC matchups. So they really only got 2 pure wins in the bowl games. Is the old SEC dominance ever coming back?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's pretty simple. For a million years, the SEC dominated because the SEC was handing out all sorts of cash under the table, and it was what it was. Meanwhile, the other places like the Big Ten were a little bit more on the up and up about their dealings.
Not much, but a little bit more.
Yeah, but a little bit more. Whereas, like, they didn't go the full way, where the SEC was just like, all right, yeah, we won't even be shy about this. And so the SEC had an advantage for a long, long time, and that advantage has dissipated.
I think Blue Blood, fans of Blue Blood programs are going to get progressively more and more upset at the state of college football, because I think I think the great randomizer, I think this is going to make gambling really impossible early in seasons. I think player migration makes this incredibly impossible to really understand who can play football and who can't, because I think it's giving schools like Ole Miss, and I think it's giving schools like Indiana, and Cincinnati's a huge part of that. So I'm not, but Miami, like, I think we're getting to a point where the talent gets so flushed out because, again, players move from year to year, that you're getting maybe 20 teams on any given year that might have enough talent to win a playoff game. Maybe half those have a chance to significantly win the championship. Like, I don't think it's just bad for the SEC. Yeah, okay, Big Ten's on top right now. They're probably going to have won 3 straight at the end of this cycle. Yeah, but I think the ACC is going to be better represented here in the next couple of years. I think the Big 12 is, like, I think the days of it just being the Big Ten and the SEC, I think there's so much money in it now, it's almost kind of counteracting the just sheer amount of money for both the big conferences.
Yeah, no question.
Love it.
Omaha!
All right. Memphis is entertaining offers for the first time to potentially move two-time All-Star Ja Morant. Oddly enough, two-time All-Star seems very, very light for Ja Morant there. Ahead of the deadline on February 5th, how do we think about Ja Morant being moved? You saw Trae Young get moved. You had to think this was coming. Ja Morant on the go. I actually think Milwaukee does make some sense if you want to go ahead and pair him with Giannis and make a run for it that way.
But we know the Haslams don't care about off-the-field issues.
I mean, if anything, this would be a Haslam hire, would it not?
Yeah, they'd be like, hey, what did he do? What did he get suspended for?
He keeps beefing with his coach because he beefs with everybody. He's clearly problematic in many, many ways, but he's also very, very good at basketball still.
Yeah, he's such a talented player. Isaiah Ryder was like this, where Isaiah Ryder, J.R. Ryder to some, was such a fantastic basketball player, but really only lasted about 5 years at a spot that was about as long as he was going to do, and he was just a tremendous basketball player, but just never got out of his own way. I think that's Ja. I mean, granted, he's still only 26. Here's the thing. The Spurs shouldn't upset their chemistry for this kid. OKC, this is a kind of the talent level of player that SGA and Ja Morant together would be fun to watch just dominate the NBA. They shouldn't do it. He's not worth it.
No, they won't, and they won't.
This is going to be very akin to the Trae Young trade.
If
you had traded Trae Young 3 years ago.
So the difference in that is that this trade is Memphis wants picks and young players.
Yes.
But mainly picks.
But think about it.
Desmond Bane trade, like they're in on getting picks, and it's going to be a little bit different because Washington didn't have given anything up.
3 years ago, if you had traded Trae Young, you're not getting CJ McCollum and Corey Crispert for him. You're not. I think maybe a pick. It's gonna be really, really tough to get what I think Memphis wants for Ja Morant. Because who's going to take the risk on Ja, given it's not like Memphis is winning the way they were three years ago?
Let me tell you some of the early teams that ESPN has attached to Ja Morant, and maybe this will help us out a little bit. Miami is one of them. They have a trade with Miami that is centered around Tyler Hero. We talked about culture. Maybe Spoelstra could be the one that
gets him to Miami. Hey, the guy's got a problem with drugs. The guy's got a problem with guns. Let's send him to Miami. Okay.
Yeah. So Miami's one. Milwaukee is one on the basis of trying to basically help out Giannis and the tail end of Giannis. Is prime. You get something going that way. Toronto is another one. And then the last one on this list is, oddly enough, Minnesota. Minnesota is the last one.
Minnesota's going to be really hard to make the money work out there.
Well, they'd involved, it was a three-team trade, so they would end up involving Washington in this, and then obviously it's the other two teams, Minnesota and Memphis.
I don't like any of the. I mean, maybe Milwaukee, because I do think Giannis and him could be at least interesting together. And I don't think the price is going to be ridiculously high on Ja. Toronto would be interesting, but I don't know.
Well, Toronto, you get traded to Toronto, people just forget about you and you're gone, basically, at this point.
I wish the best for the kid. He's a great basketball player, and it just doesn't seem like he's got too much going on off the court. It doesn't mean he's definitively a bad dude, but there's just so many concerns there. Like people have floated the Ja Morant for Darius Garland trade, and I think you actually get better with Ja Morant here as opposed to Darius, which is hard to say in the NBA. I don't want Ja Morant anywhere near the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I realize what I did there in bashing Toronto, and once again, putting America first.
Yep, that's what they say about old Johnny America.
I'm just
there.
A patriot, man.
That's true. You just love this country.
I'm sorry you don't.
Yeah,
I'm sorry you don't.
That's fair. Not as much as you, apparently.
Nope.
The world of college football is on fire today. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.